Scrollers and Avocados.
Hey, Doomsday Scrollers. Peter here. Welcome back to Apocalypse and Avocados. I'm here with my co-host, Carissa, and Sean, and we're here to talk about Rent today, how it's sky high and it's affecting all millennial life. I'm gonna pass this over to Carissa and Sean to introduce themselves. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty good. No complaints. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy
or
Friday.
Monday, I guess. That's when we're releasing the episode. So
yeah, either way. Welcome back. All right. So there are a lot of things plaguing us today, but especially I feel like rent is really affecting millennials. It has been going up astronomically. And to see $1,500 for a studio apartment, a shoebox really, is insane. I know that Carissa has some experience with this in her little one-bedroom apartment. How do you feel about it, Carissa?
So having a one-bedroom apartment. I actually lived in Sturbridge back in 2022, and my 500-square-foot one-bedroom apartment, which was literally two rooms, like my living room, dining room, kitchen were all one room, and then I had a bedroom and a bathroom, $1,355, okay? And that, I mean, granted, it included utilities, and I could have my dog there and whatnot, but when it came time for lease renewal in 2023, it was going up to $1,480. I was just barely scraping by. I mean, with it being $1,355, never mind $1,480. So I asked mom and dad to move back home. So that's where I'm at now.
That's absolutely bonkers. I can't believe that you were paying that for that little shoebox, especially since the floor like felt like it was going to give out at any point.
No kidding. Everywhere you stepped in there, it felt like the floor was going to cave in. Also, I had this dehumidifier that came with the apartment because my apartment was directly above the basement of all the other apartments. So I guess the boiler was under my apartment and it was causing all kinds of humidity in the apartment. And at one point there was mold. This was prior to me moving in. So I had to run a dehumidifier all the time. And of course, the electric bill was the one utility that was not included. And so I'm paying the electric bill for a dehumidifier that I have to run because of a problem the apartment complex had.
That's insane. That should have been a red flag right there. I mean, I know Sean and I are very lucky to have bought a home, but we had to kind of, it was actually a shit show. It was awful. It probably took like 10 years off my life. And when we came in to see our current home, they had dehumidifiers in the basement. So that really should have been a red flag to us, especially with like an old 50s style house. But it felt like, it feels like now everything's falling apart.
I mean, in our defense, it did look completely redone. But yeah, word to the wise, buying a home is not exactly fun. That process is extremely stressful. And then once you get into the home, you suddenly realize that people who sold it to you did not tell you the truth about half the things that were wrong with it. All the things that went wrong within the first year here, I can't even begin to imagine.
Yeah, and you can't call the landlord for it. It's really crazy, and I'm just going to do a little comparison. You said you were paying $1,350, right?
$55.
For your one-bedroom apartment.
Right.
We pay $1,550 for a three-bedroom house. That is nuts. You had 500 square feet. We have 12. This is just ridiculous. It should not be like this. What do you think is actually causing this, aside from, you know, the tariffs and everything? Is it just a housing crisis, or?
I believe that it's corporations buying up properties and then charging whatever they want for them, as well as big corporations moving into cities where housing was more affordable. And now people who come to work at those corporations want to live closer, so they price them out. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
I agree with you. I'm also thinking along the lines of, I mean, we're about an hour out of Boston, right? And Boston is the most expensive place to live in Massachusetts. And I think it's even becoming unaffordable for the people that are living there. So they're migrating west, which is now causing the rest of the state's rents to increase just to keep up.
Yeah, it's insane. I feel like Worcester has become like this escape mecca for everybody, especially millennials. It's like inadvertently, it is affecting millennials. Why? Because we are working these jobs that don't provide enough for us to live, you're spending 40 to 50% of your earned wages on your just living, the roof over your head. And that shouldn't be that way. Plus, the cost of living is not keeping up. It's just not rising. Minimum wage is not rising. So we're kind of getting screwed. And we're between a rock and a hard place. Everybody wants to live, finger quote, American dream. But we came into a market where it was absolutely garbage. And now we have to live in an apartment where there's five roommates and you can smell the person's asshole next door because they're so close. The wall is paper thin. And when somebody cooks fish, you all know. Like, that is terrible. I just think that, I don't know. How do you guys feel about, like, how it's affecting millennial life, especially?
I mean, honestly, it's completely unaffordable. I think being the age that I am, why the hell should I have to have roommates? I mean, I had roommates in college, okay? And a lot of those experiences, I love all of you guys dearly, if you're listening. They're just rough. It's rough to live with your friends. So why should I have to do it now when here I am in my late 30s? Just, I don't know, it's not feasible to me.
And it's not like we're talking about New York City here. That I understand. You want to live in Manhattan, you're going to have 12 people basically bunking, laying on top of each other just to make it in the city, and you're still paying $2,500. That is bonkers.
So let's put it into perspective. We're in Massachusetts, and the average rent price here can vary everywhere from $1,300, $817 per month for a one-bedroom apartment. And that's the average. So obviously it can be higher, it can be lower, but that depends on what area you're in. And now let's talk about where it's safe for people to live. People of color, people who are queer may not feel as comfortable living in more rural areas because they don't know what they're going to be met with by prejudice. And I think that people need to consider the additional costs of that as well, of being able to live somewhere where you feel safe.
Right. And you're just, I don't know if you two have heard of this, but it sounds like Sean's kind of perfectly describing this. The gay tax, is that real for you guys? Like,
I've heard it called the gay tax, the pink tax.
See, I've never heard of it referred to that way. However, I can see why it's a thing. For sure.
Yeah, you want to live in the big cities because you don't know how you'll be treated, like Sean said, in these little suburbs, and you just want to be safe and have all those amenities. It's just a higher cost of living for essentially just being who you are and your sexuality.
Exactly. And just being able to feel safe.
Right.
So can I ask you this question? When you were looking for your house, was that something that was important to you? Because I know when I was looking for my apartment that I found in Sturbridge, it was really important to me that it was a gay-friendly area.
Yeah, it's absolutely something that we were considering. It's not where we ended up, obviously. That was mainly because we bought in 2021, and that was when the housing was a seller's market. So we had to compete. There was one house in the perfect area that we absolutely wanted. It's very close to a major city, had all the amenities. We were the first people to see the house. We put an offer in, $15,000 over asking, thinking that we were just going to be safe. And then we're going to put the $15,000 over asking. They received 87 bids on the same house, and it sold for over $200,000 over asking.
That's insane.
And we ended up just out here in the middle of the woods. And this was honestly the only house at the time that we could get. And there were four other people that wanted to see the house at the time, and we're going to come back. So we just were like, okay, well, it's 20 minutes from the next major city. We'll just take that. But yeah, I do feel like we kind of got the short end of the stick. We wanted to be closer to the major city and not necessarily in a red area, if you know what I mean. But it's not what we ended up with. But we're fine with it. Although, like Sean said, a million things went wrong. But yeah, I feel like the gay or pink tax is definitely something that affects us queer millennials more so than the hetero millennials, because you can kind of, it's more socially accepted. You can kind of just fit in anywhere. You can live anywhere. And then it's not like you have to add another level of not only being a person of color, you're queer on top of that. It's kind of like you have one less layer.
I hear that.
Yeah. And just to put it into perspective, again, like, it's not just queer millennials that are dealing with this. So the average rent in the United States hit an all-time high of $2,000 a month in 2024.
Wow.
And not only that, millennials spend approximately 30 to 50% of their income on rent alone. And that's according to Pew Research.
That's nuts. It seems like it's just going to keep going up, too.
So imagine making minimum wage. I mean, it was just a year and some change ago that I was a personal trainer at a Planet Fitness, and they make $16 an hour. They don't make what other personal trainers and private gyms make. Yeah. And I remember applying for food stamps. And do you want to know what they approved me for? How ridiculous is this? Okay. $22 a month.
Wow. There's a lot of people that are getting way more than that.
The hell am I supposed to do with that, you know?
You should buy a stick of gum and a thing of orange juice.
Do you guys want to play a game?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, I'm going to read you the average monthly rent in a state, and I want you to try and guess which one it is. We're going to do two of the highest and lowest. So I have one at $2,423 a month.
I'm not sure. $2,423? That's the average.
Yes.
That's average.
I'll say Florida.
I was going to say California.
I feel like it's much higher over there.
You're close, Carissa. It's actually Hawaii.
Wow.
That's average?
I mean, it's kind of like Oahu is really expensive.
It is said to have the highest average monthly housing costs. And now I've got one for $869 a month.
$869. Why do I want to say Alabama or Mississippi? Am I close?
No.
Wow. I would think down south, too. I was thinking something along the lines of, like, Georgia or...
maybe the Midwest, like Wyoming, Colorado.
Getting there. North Dakota.
I always forget that's even a state.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of forgot about it, too, until I read it.
Lives in North Dakota.
If we have any listeners in North Dakota, we appreciate you.
So North Dakota, that's just crazy. Is that where Mount Rushmore is? Or is that... South Dakota.
You know, I used to be good at geography when I was in like the fifth grade, but now not so much, to be honest.
I feel it's North Dakota, but that's crazy though. $100.
$69 on average.
I don't think that would even happen anywhere close to us.
Is one other that has a lower average per month at $752.
No way.
It's a place your dad often talks about going to.
Oh, West Virginia.
Yep.
West Virginia. Really?
Yeah.
That's odd. I never would have thought that.
That's a little weight. I don't even know any like major cities in West Virginia. Obviously, we know about it. But yeah, that's nuts. I would have thought that was like Oklahoma or something.
And then my other high one, $2,111 a month.
Okay, so it's the average, but are we talking like shoebox apartment?
These two are for renters and homeowners. The other one was for renters.
Is it West Coast?
Yes.
This has got to be California.
Yep.
Really?
California.
See, I was thinking Portland.
I think California gets somewhat of a break on the high average because it's so big. They have some really high housing prices, but they're such a big state. There's so many people there.
That's true. You kind of forget about it. It takes up the whole West Coast, basically.
Yeah. It has so many different, like, weather systems in different parts at different times.
Yeah. I feel like when people hear about California, they're like automatically go to LA or San Francisco or San Diego, and they forget that there's like a whole other state in between.
Right.
They forget about wine country. Forget about Southern California.
Yeah. And no, Southern California, that's where San Diego is.
Yeah. You said San Diego. Sorry.
You know what's sad is we're complaining about the rents here in Massachusetts. Look at the rents in these other states. I mean,
yeah, it's the average. Half of them higher, half of them lower. That's nuts.
Glad I don't live in California because I'd just send myself to prison. It's probably a little bit cheaper.
Yeah. And just to bring it back kind of like what we were talking about with that, the majority of the LGBT individuals live LA, San Francisco, San Diego, San Bernardino. They live in these high rent places because it's where they feel safe.
That's very true. I didn't think about that.
Same thing, like if you think about the rest of the country, like Seattle has a huge LGBT population. Portland, Oregon has a huge population. Now, if you think East Coast, Boston, Providence, Hartford, New York City, and then you have Miami down below, Atlanta, like those, that's insane. Like you think about these rents and how it's just, you think that like, oh, it's just affecting everybody, but it's not. It is, but it's affecting the LGBT more so because they have to live there. They have to live there on these minimum wage jobs as everybody else, paying $15 for a bell pepper that's going to be coming soon because little bit here, a little insight. All of our produce comes from outside of the country, aside from corn.
Oh, and citrus. I think we grow some citrus.
Yeah, we get some oranges and peaches and apples.
Canada does not want them anymore, apparently.
All the things that you have to add a ton of sugar to enjoy. Anyway, now that we've gone through that.
I mean, just to go back to what you're saying about needing to be in a safe place. I'm from Rhode Island originally. And when Peter and I were there before with one of our friends, we were in an altercation where we were essentially jumped because we were gay, and there was a whole thing. And like, that's a place where I grew up. It's a place where most people feel safe. And if that's happening in a place where people feel safe, what's happening in a place where people don't feel safe? So you have to like think that these places that people are living, it's not just about comfort. It sometimes is a matter of survival.
Right. That's a valid point.
Yeah, not to mention the other expenses that go up. You live in Rhode Island, just a little background here. Rhode Island has one of the highest car insurance rates in the country. So we were trying to insure one of Sean's cars in Rhode Island when he was still living there. The insurance was $435 a month. That was the lowest insurance.
For liability.
Liability insurance.
Tack that on to these rents, and it's like, you're basically paying to live and hopefully drive a car. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's also affecting our mental health as well, because we just can't afford to do any of the things that bring us joy. So what happens, we end up getting all our paychecks. We pay our rent. We get our 15 things at the store that cost like $300 and hope that it lasts you until the next time you get paid. And then you buy a bottle of booze and you just suck it down. You feel awful for the rest of the weekend because I don't know about you two. You can't recover from a hangover like you did when you were 21.
No.
No, you definitely can't. That's part of the reason I stopped drinking.
I don't even think I knew what a hangover was until I was at least in my late 20s. I don't think I really knew what one was.
Well, see, you got your late 20s and then and now your hangover lasts 3 days.
3 to 5 business days, to be exact. Yes.
A whole work week.
Sometimes 10 to 14, depending on the liquor.
Watch out for the tequila.
Red wine hangover is the worst.
Oh, yes. That's one of the ones where you see on the movies where they have to wear sunglasses and any loud noise, like a locker closing in those high school movies. Yes. Red wine hangover.
I remember the first time I had a red wine hangover. Peter bought this amazing wine and I just needed to finish the bottle for some reason. And the next morning, I swore I was never drinking red wine ever again. I needed like 4 double cheeseburgers. It was not a pretty sight.
The headache is unreal with wine.
It felt like my head was one of those stumps that you see the really muscular guy on TikTok where he like knocks the big nail into it and then he splits it in half. That's what I felt like was happening to my head.
It was.
You would bring him up.
I mean, I think about him regularly.
Doesn't surprise me. So let's bring it back to another thing here. I feel, or maybe it's not just me. Hopefully there are other listeners that feel this way. We pay all this money to go to school to only be haunted by this student loan debt that just feels like it never goes away. You can just pay a little bit more than the minimum payment on it, and it doesn't feel like you make a dent at all. And then you're not, when you finish school, you're not even going to get the job that you thought you were working towards without having like 6 years of experience and a master's degree to be a receptionist.
Yeah. That's something I feel really passionate about in a way, because when I was in college, I majored in human resource management. And one of the areas that I really like working in is around personnel and like total compensation and those types of things that keep employees, good employees at companies. And even just when I have been applying for jobs myself while I was in school and after being in school, the requirements of these jobs are ridiculous. Oftentimes, employers will list it as a entry-level job. And then, like Peter said, they'll want 5, 6, sometimes 10 to 15 years of experience. And I don't understand how that can be expected if you're not giving anyone an opportunity to get the experience.
Right. I agree with you. And I think that's where the stereotype comes in, where people say that millennials are entitled. We're not entitled. We went to school. We got the degree. And here we are applying for an entry-level job that we still can't get. And we end up working at Domino's when we graduate college, because that's the only place that's going to hire us, regardless of us getting a degree, because we don't have the quote-unquote experience.
It sounds like you're talking from personal experience.
That's accurate. Yep, I did work at Domino's after college because I couldn't get a job.
I mean, I think about myself, the only reason I'm in the industry I'm in is because I fell into it. But when I tried to go and get a job in what I majored in, nobody even considered my application because I don't have experience in human resources other than my schooling. And no one really wants to give me the opportunity to learn. They want me to keep doing my marketing stuff because that's what they are paying me for.
But you're so good at it.
Thanks. I try.
Well, that, and then they want like 15 different certifications after the fact. It's like, okay, so you want me to go to school for another year so that I can pick up your phone and then I can hire someone eventually. Eventually, I'll start as a junior recruiter, which is basically like a turd on your shoe. And you do all of the grunt work and you fetch coffee and everything. And maybe you get to look at a resume at the end of the day. Maybe you get to pre-screen something. And then they turn around and they're like, oh, yeah, this person's not qualified and I don't like their name. They do not have enough schooling. They have to have at least a PhD to work here.
I think another thing that annoys me is the AI review of all the resumes, where I feel like they probably miss so many really good applicants because their resume doesn't have something set up in the way that the AI wanted it to be. So they just disregard them. One thing that when I used to do hiring, I always read every single application that was given to us. I didn't care how messy it was. I was going to read it through because you might not have the best handwriting, but if you filled out the application fully, then I think that you are worth talking to. You know, I think that sometimes people need more than just a glance at a piece of paper before you know whether or not they're right for something.
Yeah, like you pick it up. This one smells good.
Yeah.
Let's interview them.
It's like the from Legally Blonde where she has the pink resumes and she sprays them with her perfume and stuff, I think.
Yeah, she does. I remember that.
He's like, it's pink. And she goes, and scented. Well, I mean, those little things do catch people's eyes, especially when it's a man doing the hiring. I mean, if it smells good, they're probably going to at least want to interview them.
And then ask where they got that perfume so they can buy it for their mistress.
Possibly. But while we're on this subject, I don't know if any of you have felt this way. Do you feel like when you apply for a job and then they want to talk salary, do you feel like they lowball you just because of your sexuality?
I can't say it's because of my sexuality. I would say I think that most companies want to lowball you because they don't want to pay you what you're worth just because it saves the company or the corporation money.
Yeah, I agree.
Good point.
But I'm pretty good at negotiating. I mean, not to toot my own horn, but toot toot.
Toot toot, motherfucker.
I mean, I don't know if you guys have experienced this. When I apply and I finally get that interview, you know, because it takes forever. Nowadays, you get like 3-month wait and then somebody gets back to you and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to pee myself. I'm so excited. I have to like mentally prepare what I'm going to do on the interview. And then all of a sudden, like my voice drops 3 octaves. So that they don't know that I'm gay. So in case you don't know, like, who's going to discriminate. So automatically you're putting on this front for this person because you really want this job. And It just kind of feels inauthentic. And I don't know if you guys have dealt with that.
I like to think that I do that, but let's be honest. I don't think there's any hiding that I'm gay from my voice. I really don't think so. So I just kind of hope that they're oblivious and they've never met a gay person before.
Well, for me, there's definitely no hiding it. I mean, I'm masculine presenting, so it is what it is. I'm going in my slacks and dress shoes. You get what you get. And if you don't like it, then too bad.
Basically, my hair is like Goku when he's going into full
Super Saiyan
and his head is like on fire. That's me at all times. There's just a flame going around my head.
That's me when I haven't had coffee in the morning. It's like, don't talk to me. I'm the most miserable person in the morning.
I believe Peter said to a waitress in New Orleans when we were there that I was going to set the city on fire for a third time because of how gay I was.
You did say that.
Burn it down again. That would have been terrible. I feel bad for those people. You have a beautiful city, by the way. Love going there.
Yes, big fans of New Orleans.
I had the time of my life.
And those that little quarter block area. You don't even have to step outside. It's amazing.
Brendan Swayze, I will never forget you.
I try to every night.
Well, our listeners don't know about Brendan Swayze. You want to tell them a little bit?
So just to elaborate a little bit, one night we were out in New Orleans. Mind you, my mom was with us, okay? And we go to this gay bar, and I'm not, you know, I'm having drinks, I'm having a good time, I'm not thinking twice about anything. I'm just, this guy wants to dance with me, so I'm like, he must be gay. Whatever, we're in a gay bar. So what is that, the movie with Patrick Swayze?
Oh, Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. So the song from Dirty Dancing comes on, and this guy that I'm dancing with, he's like, Come on, let's do the move, you know,
the lift.
Where he catches it. Patrick Swayze catches her in the air and lifts her up and spins her around. And I'm thinking to myself, no way, dude. At the time, you know, I was over 200 pounds. I was like, there's absolutely no way this guy's going to catch me. So, but he's insistent upon it. And I'm drunk. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. And I go running at him. And then I have second thoughts at the last second. And I cling to him like King Kong on the Empire State Building.
Carissa was like, I'm going to do the lift and fall.
You know, he did catch me, though. I was impressed.
Nobody puts Carissa in a corner.
Come to find out that he was hitting on Carissa all night. And next morning, we see him walking down the street with his wife.
Yeah, by the way, we had to duck into a random club where I asked a bouncer not to let him in. And then he looked at me as if I was crazy. It kind of like to say, I'm not going to not let someone into this club if they're going to pay for stuff. And then he looked at Brendan Swayze and said, oh, you don't have any shirt on. You can't come in here.
Thank God, because otherwise there was no way I was going to lose him. We had a stage 5 clinger.
We had to stay in there for like 15, 20 minutes until he forgot what we were doing or he was doing, I mean, and just left.
But, you know, it's all about experiences, right? Overall, it was a good time.
Yeah. This is definitely something we'd repeat.
This is the same time we accidentally took your mother into a dominatrix club.
Oh, yeah.
My God, yeah.
The that Adam's cross on the wall.
She was like, where are we?
Certainly. We took her to this club.
It's like a sex dungeon.
She enjoyed it.
They did have that really cool seat that was like the old prison cell. That was cool.
That was really cool.
That wasn't a prison cell. It was a flogging station.
No, it was like a cage.
Oh, I thought it was a prison cell.
Yeah, there was the
two. Why is I'm choking?
Oh, okay. This is not as funny when we make you explain it.
But anyway, we need to get off of New Orleans here because we could literally talk for an entire day about this.
Maybe that's another episode in the future.
Yes, definitely. So getting back to it here, everybody knows that inflation has been a thing since 2022. It doesn't show. We saw some progress during the last administration where things started coming down. And then this administration has kind of made it skyrocket. I don't know what anybody else is seeing, but being Puerto Rican, going to the store and seeing pork chops, a 4-pack of pork chops that is over $25, it just made me like shit myself. There was like, not even to mention the amount of sofrito that you're going to use to cook. Now you're thinking peppers, cilantro, and all the things that go into it, garlic. And you're like, how much is it going to cost me to make a batch of sofrito so that I can make beans to go at these pork chops that cost more than like having a child?
You will need to donate one of your kidneys.
And these are the good pork chops, too. We're talking about the thick ones.
Yeah, not the ones that are so thin that you can see through them. Like that one.
They're translucent.
Yeah, where you're basically, like, you're trying to, you know those things that you used to get in the old days where it was, like, the cipher on there, and you'd put the little plexiglass thing on the top, and the words would change?
Oh, they would have it, like, even on the back of the cereal box or whatever sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. Those pork chops are those thin, that thin.
That's like the thing that they have in the Jumanji game. When you have the actual board game, yes. not the movie, where you have to slide the card under to read
it. To read it, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
In the jungle, you should wait until the dice roll 6 or 8.
Until someone rolls a 5 or 8. I thought it was 5 or 8.
It's something or 8.
6 or 8 makes more sense, but I always thought it was 5 or 8. It's probably 6 or 8. I don't know.
I don't know.
Someone tell us what it is.
It's something at 8.
It's 5 or 8. I don't know.
But anyway.
But hey, I didn't know where Mount Rushmore was. So, I mean, that's
someone
a lot
tell us that too.
About me and being American.
I know where it is. The U.S.
Ding, 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 ding. You win.
Half points. I can't point out what state. I know it's in this region. But anyway, yeah, like, I don't know if you guys are going out, seeing the price of meat. I know that meat comes from over the border, which, big surprise, we pay for it from other people, except for cows. So I guess we're just going to eat, what, beef there for the rest of our life because cows are here?
Yeah, basically.
I guess.
Or ground beef, right?
Well, I mean, doesn't a lot of our beef come from Colombia?
I mean, that's a good point.
I didn't know that.
I might not be correct about that, but I think a lot of it does.
Yeah, in South America, I think they said, like, the cows outnumber people, like, 3 to 1 or something.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Sounds right. I mean.
So basically none of our food is from here.
Right. Apples.
Apples. Oh, and they were not good this past fall.
No, they looked diseased. You got there and then, like, I don't know if it was the GMOs. They said that they had, like, a lot of rain, and I've never seen rain fuck up an apple so bad. The apple literally looked like it was growing a twin on it. It looked like the peach emoji, but on the side of the apple. So, like, it radiated apple. That's what I'm saying. It was gross. And if that was the rain, there's some pollution up there.
There's something going on here.
All of the apples were like that. It was nuts. But maybe there's a lot of rain in Florida and their oranges get really fucking fugly.
You would think that a lot of rain would be good. I mean, I guess I know a lot of rain can be bad for plants, but, like, you would think that fruit would do well with a lot of rain. My brain says that it would make it juicier, but maybe that's just the stoner in me.
So apparently a lot of rain makes your apples look like something out of BioShock, like that you throw at one of the drug diseased people throwing these fucking apples that turn into grenades.
Well, let's bring it back to inflation, and not to be a Debbie Downer or anything, but I've got some facts to put things into perspective and to kind of go along with what you were saying, Peter. So the cost of groceries has increased nearly 25% since 2022. Millennial wages haven't significantly increased since 2008.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah. So right now, it's reported that to comfortably afford a one-bedroom apartment, most Americans need to earn on average $27 an hour.
That's nuts.
They are lying.
But, I mean, you have to think that's probably the cheapest apartments in the expensive areas and the higher-end apartments in the less expensive areas. So it's doable, but you also have to factor in, where are you from? Where do you have transportation to get to? Where can you afford to live? Where's your job?
Who's going to break into your apartment?
Yeah. There's just so many things you have to factor in when you're talking about where someone lives and how much it costs. And that goes back to feeling safe somewhere, being able to walk outside your house and just be the person that you are and not have to hide yourself. Like Peter was saying, he sometimes feels he has to do on interviews.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had an interview in a long time, so we'll see if things change. But I feel like that's 100% true. I don't feel like I ever got a raise, really. Anything that I've felt that my wages have increased at my current position has been through promotions. So I never actually got like a raise in like a specific. And so, like, if when I started out in customer service, I didn't get a raise in customer service. I got a promotion from customer service, and that came with a bigger pay bump.
Right. Yeah, I hear that. That's definitely happened to me too in past roles. And even Well, my current role, I'm still in the same position, but I've gotten raises just because my job role has expanded or different things that I took on and I've been doing, which is wonderful. But I mean, if in retrospect, if you're thinking about it, like the annual increases for most companies aren't huge.
No, it's like what? Some of them get 3%.
Roughly, yeah.
Just what exactly? It doesn't buy you pork chops, I'll tell you that.
Not the good ones.
No. And then you get those really ugly ones too. Sorry to go off on a tangent again. Those ugly ass pork chops. It's like all bone and gristle and nasty, like fat. And the bone is right in the middle. So when you go, like, they're not center cut. So you have like four individual pieces of meat on either side of the bone.
If that.
Yeah, exactly. You just want to throw that shit away. It looks terrible. And what happened with all of these people during COVID when we had all these factories that were on like ghost crews? And I don't know about you, but when you get chicken breast, boneless, skinless chicken breast now, it has a fucking bone in it. Almost always. Yeah. Who taught these people how to kill animals and cut them up? Because my boneless, skinless chicken breast should not crunch. No, I'm just saying.
I agree.
You pay extra, so there's no bone in there.
I would like a lightly seasoned boneless, skinless chicken breast.
That ain't in this household.
I will never be asking for that, and you know it.
Lightly seasoned.
Give me all the seasoning, please.
Sounds like you should just boil it, okay, and eat it.
Oh, my God. I knew someone once that said, okay, I knew someone through friends, and they were talking to my friends about what they make their child for dinner, and she said boiled chicken and potatoes.
That's terrible. That's not a meal.
Is she seasoning the chicken?
No.
Is she feeding a dog?
No.
Wow.
This is a human child.
Adobo. Adobo. Please get some.
My friends were like, we need to teach you how to do other things with chicken other than boil it.
The only seasoning she had was her bubblegum lip gloss when she's eating it. Chicken and bubblegum. Oh, that's nasty. I'm sorry. Like, you get that gray chicken breast with a side of carrots and potatoes, the gray, lifeless chicken breast.
You guys remember during COVID when that person put the
chili?
Oh, the chicken breast on TikTok with like the...
When they washed it with Dawn soap.
Well, that one too, but not that one. That's not the one I was thinking of. The one they made it with like NyQuil or Robitussin or something. I have to try and find it. But
I didn't see that one.
It was something crazy.
That's disgusting.
Cooking it with medicine.
Why are we cooking with medicine?
Do you remember that pink sauce that was all over? That looked like Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah, I wasn't going to put that anywhere near
me. You know what? The person that was cooking like that, I bet they couldn't afford their rent and they were trying to purposely poison someone so they could go to prison and have a free place to stay with three meals a day. I'm just saying.
Well, they're doing it wrong because NyQuil costs more than chicken breast, in my opinion.
Fair point.
I mean, I think they're about the same now.
True. Where's NyQuil imported from? It's not made in the U.S. It's only going to get worse. And that's really terrible to say. Probably by the end of the summer, we'll see things that are astronomical, like, for instance, the price of avocados, that those are imported from Ecuador. So those are going to go, like, through the roof. They're already expensive. And please stop buying those Haas avocados. They are not real. They look like shriveled up testicles. Get rid of them. They're awful. They've gone necrotic. Stop. They have no taste whatsoever. Just find a Caribbean avocado, okay? It looks beautiful. It actually looks like on our website.
You'll thank us later.
Yes. Look, they're buttery, or so I'm told. I don't know.
They're very flavorful.
But go into your neighborhood store and find the Hispanic, preferably Dominican or Puerto Rican. They will point you to the ripest, most beautiful avocados. And then you can go home and make your avocado toast. And they're probably going to be cheaper, too. Because in my experience, when you go to like the little bodega or the little corner store, it's always cheaper than when you go to like these big name supermarkets.
Yeah, that's so true. If you go to your local stores, you're definitely going to get produce a lot cheaper than going to like a big chain store, like a Big Y or Shaw's or whatever.
Yeah, like just for example, we have an Asian market that we go to out here. We absolutely love it. It's a Thai-owned market.
So nice.
Yeah. And when we go out there, she has produce and it's like sweet potatoes and yellow dragon fruit and what is that? That spiny little, you know what I'm talking about? It's like yellow and orange. They have like little spikes on them.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know what it's called.
It's a type of melon, I believe.
Yeah. Anyway, she has those there. And then if you go on Sunday, she's like, she just gives them to you because she's like, these are going to go bad. I don't want to keep them here. So support your local businesses. They will help you out in the long run, especially combating this inflation, which you will see. You will feel it because these tariffs are insane. Starting a trade war benefits no one.
Listen, no one's safe. Even the penguins have tariffs on them now.
The ones in Australia.
He came for Canada, he came for Mexico, Colombia, China. Now he's coming for the penguins. No one is safe.
What was it that he did with the two islands of penguins?
McDonald Island and another one that are, I haven't gotten solid information that they're completely uninhabited, but most of what I've read said they're uninhabited, but at least the penguins outnumber the humans. So I don't know who he's putting tariffs on. Unless we're like harvesting penguin eggs or something.
Let's be honest. I don't think anybody knows what he's putting tariffs on.
I don't think he knows what he's doing, to be completely honest.
I agree.
It's 100% that he doesn't even know what a tariff is.
Did you hear his speech about groceries?
No. What did he say?
Something about how there's a really old term, groceries, and he used it a lot on his campaign. It's a beautiful term. It sort of means a bunch of items in a bag.
Wow.
It kind of sounds like groceries.
Kind of sounds like what we've been doing our whole lives.
And people think this man is smart.
It's only groceries if it's in a plastic bag. If it's in a paper bag, it's just food.
Apparently,
in a paper bag.
He's the only reason anyone knows that term because it's so old and he used it. China.
Shit, we're all old. Wow, I hate to see what happens, to be honest, but I can only see us eating peaches, oranges, and apples and corn for the rest of our life.
And I'll still be living with mom and dad till I'm 80.
And Kellogg's is from here. So yeah, we'll eat Kellogg's, cornflakes, stuff like that.
Isn't Kellogg's the one that told us to eat cereal for dinner and stop eating avocado toast or something?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm not supporting them.
No way.
Well, that was just like... We're not getting any sort of brand sponsorship from them at all. It's just an example. But yeah, Kellogg's and General Mills are from the United States. And just like a real quick fact here, when you go to the store, it is so expensive to eat what is actually healthy. So that's something that's inadvertently affecting the people that can't afford to buy groceries. I'm sorry, food in a paper bag. Not groceries. And so they buy all of this sugar-laden, corn syrup-laden food, and it fuels things like diabetes and high blood pressure, arrhythmias. It's just high cholesterol. It's affecting them.
Cancer.
Not necessarily because they want to be eating it, but it's all they can afford.
Right.
You have to think about how many things in the European Union are not allowed in, certain ingredients are not allowed in foods and makeup and different other cosmetic items because of what they do to someone's health. And so many products in the U.S. have them. There's so many corners that are cut to mass produce things and get more out there for a cheaper amount. And Peter's right. They make the stuff that's really bad for you cheaper, and they put the stuff that should be cheaper and is good for you as really expensive and out of the hands of people who need it.
Right. I agree with you. I mean, I'm a certified nutrition coach, and whenever, you know, I work with somebody and I discuss nutrition with them, I always, you know, tell them the easiest way to do it is stay on the perimeter of your grocery store. So we're talking meat, dairy, produce, fruits, vegetables, things like that. Anything that you have to go into a center aisle for is definitely processed or has been tampered with in some way because it's mass produced and it has some sort of chemical or something in it that is just not good for you. I'm not saying don't eat it, because I eat processed shit too sometimes because it's good.
Oreos.
I was going to say, who doesn't love an Oreo? You took the words right out of my mouth.
No sponsorship, but if they would like to, you know where to reach us.
But I mean, like I said, I do eat it, but I try to stay away from it, you know, just because you never know what it's doing to your body.
And sugar's addictive. So try and stay away from that as much as possible. But
don't stop eating Oreos.
But yeah, don't stop eating Oreos. But do you have any advice? That was a great piece of advice. How about you, Sean? Do you have any advice for us queer millennials / Gen Z, anyone listening?
I mean, I guess if on the topic of what the episode is about, if I can offer any advice to our listeners who may be, you know, looking for a job, it's don't sell yourself short and use AI to your advantage. If you are looking for a certain job, ask AI what is likely to get you your resume looked at and make sure your resume has those elements in it. I'm not saying lie, but I'm saying make sure that you present your best self at all times and do not sell yourself short. Just because you don't think you're qualified for something doesn't mean that you're not qualified for it. Sometimes you get in there and they're willing to train the right person. So just put yourself out there and try. Don't stop trying.
That's a great piece of advice because honestly, I wouldn't have the position that I'm in today in the fitness center that I work in if I didn't put myself out there, because I totally did not think I would get the position that I'm in. Yeah. And I'm so glad that I just took the leap of faith.
Well, that's like me. I was comfortable at a company and I was quite hired into a position where I was not making anywhere near what I should have been making for the work I was doing. And I got fed up and just said, I'm going to look for another job, applied to so many places and got nothing in return. And finally, I said, I don't even think I'm going to get hear back from this one. And I applied and that's where I'm working now. Anything can happen. You just gotta try. Have a little bit of faith in yourself.
For sure.
Awesome. Awesome piece of advice. If I can offer any advice to just really anyone, you are the biggest advocate for you. The only way to change what you don't like in the world is if we realize there are more things that we have in common than we have as differences. Producing labels. Stop further subsecting communities. You want systemic change? It comes from unification. It comes from you advocating for change for yourself, putting yourself out there, and that's how things are changed. People need a platform to be heard, but they also need to use their voice. You don't use your voice, things will never change.
Right. I agree with you completely.
Yeah. And to piggyback off that on identity, like, I think that's what that comes down to with labels. Labels do separate us. And I understand that for a lot of people, labels help with their identity and how they feel, but your identity is about you. It's not about how everybody else sees you or thinks about you. It should be about how you feel about yourself. That's why it's the identity. It's not the you identity. Like, we need to let people be comfortable in who they are and not feel like they need to hide it or be somebody different, so that we can embrace our differences while also realizing that we're not as different as we think we are, and our differences are what make us so special.
And to wrap that all up, that's the whole reason that we came together and started the podcast.
Exactly. Be the change you want to see in the world. Just to recap, honestly, eat healthy. Number one, support your local businesses. That's where you're going to find the best deals. Anything else you want to add?
Support each other, because even if you think you are alone in this world, you're not. There are definitely other people that can relate to what you're going through. And mom and dad, thanks for letting me live at home.
You know, I would like to invite our listeners to share any of their worst, you know, debt or rent related stories or survival tips for, you know, getting by in the world as a millennial or a queer millennial or Gen Z even. We're interested in hearing from you as well. Let us know.
Yeah. Awesome. And we're all only one missed payment away from OnlyFans. So feel heard. We definitely understand what you're going through. We want you to get connected with our community. We now have a live website. You can follow us at apocalypseandavocados.com. We have all of our socials. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Blue Sky. I know I said Twitter. It's X.
Twitter to me.
Yes. I say that with disdain. But yeah, come check it out. And it was great being here with you two.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you next time.
Well, before we go, we just want to remind everyone to check our poll on Spotify and put your input in so that we can reveal the results in an upcoming episode.
Awesome.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Well, good night, listeners, and we'll catch you next time. Hey, thanks for listening to Apocalypse and Avocados. If you laughed, cringed, or yelled same at any point, do us a favor. Hit follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you never have to miss an episode. If you really want to make our day, share this episode with a friend, or three, who needs some chaos and avocado energy in their life. Don't forget to follow us on socials for behind-the-scenes rants, memes, and questionable life advice. You'll find us everywhere at Apocalypse and Avocados. Seriously, your support keeps us going and might even save us from being replaced by podcasting robots. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.